Chapter 17, for the last little while we've been talking, because we're going through the book of Acts, but I'm on what is called an excursus. An excursus is a fancy name. It means rabbit trail. And I've been rabbit trailing in regard to the matter of things that are demonic. You'll remember in our last session weeks and weeks ago in the book of Acts, Paul encountered those who were exorcists, and that naturally begs the question, what does the Bible teach about this? What does the Bible teach about the supernatural? Is there such a thing as angels? Yes, yes, absolutely. We believe Scripture. Is there such a thing as demons? Yes, there is no question about that. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that there is an unseen world beyond what we see that is as real as the world that we can see. And when we talk about these things, sometimes people say, well, Pastor Monty, this all makes me very nervous. It should not, because our God reigns. Never forget that. In everything in life, our God reigns. We can be absolutely dogmatic as to that point. But the question I want to bring to you tonight, and it's very apropos, because I will be dealing with several of the ways that Satan attacks people over the next couple of weeks. And one of the things I wanted to deal with tonight, and it just kind of came up in order of things that I had planned to do, is the idea of a demonic battle plan. What does Satan, if anything, what does Satan have to do with sickness and disease? Now, I need everyone to pay very close attention. The reason you got a handout tonight is so that you can look at the handout. We'll go over the material. I'll preach through the handout as far as I can get tonight with our time. But I wanted you to have that it would make it very clear what we're talking about. Now, from the very get-go, let me make a statement. Not all illness is sourced in the demonic or Satan. Did you hear what I said? Not all illness. You cannot say if you have a sniffle that the devil is attacking you. Okay, you can't say that. It's very unlikely, actually. But there are occasions in Scripture when the devil himself is behind a physical or mental illness. And we'll get into how you can discern these things. For us to deny that would be to deny one of the greatest realities of Scripture. There's a famous Bible teacher, I won't name him from the pulpit, but he takes the position that since the crucifixion and resurrection, that demons are no longer active in afflicting human beings. That is absolutely not the case. That could not possibly. Not only does the Bible never hint at that as a possibility, but human experience and the experience of thousands of people would mitigate against such a thing. There is such a thing as evil influence, and it is personified in beings known as demons. Now remember, we said from the get-go of this lesson on demons that the devil cannot be everywhere at once. So if someone says, well, Pastor Monty, the devil this and the devil that, the devil told me this, really that's inaccurate. The devil probably is not here in this room. I wouldn't think so. Even, you know, and ladies, you didn't marry him, okay? The devil's not here in this room. Probably not here in the state of Indiana would be my guess. You say, where is the devil right now? Well, the White House. But anyway, and probably in somewhere located in a place, a great seat of power, because he is not God, he is not omnipresent, he cannot be everywhere at once. Now, having said that, he is ubiquitous. What? Ubiquitous. It is a word that means he appears to be everywhere because he has minions that do his will, known as demons, and they are everywhere. If you think about it this way, he is like the commanding general over an army of demonic forces. And the word ubiquitous means something appears to be everywhere all at the same time. So what does this have to do with illness? Is there a connection, potential connection, between the demonic and physical illness? So let me give you some principles to consider tonight. They're on your lesson outline. You can look at these. Number one, I want to assure you of something. God is in ultimate control of everything. Period. God is in control. Do not be swept into the whirlwind of theory and sensationalism. that says somehow God doesn't have his hand on our current situation. In the world, in the United States, in Hendricks County, wherever it may be, don't get swept into that. God is ultimately in control. Now, while Satan plays a role, his role is limited in scope, and that should read effect, not affect, scope and effect. He is always under God's control and cannot afflict people at his will. Really important to understand something. So you say, Pastor Monty, you know, I've been afflicted by something, and it just seems like it's something from the dark side. Okay, is that possible for a Christian? The answer, frankly, is yes. Now, I didn't say you're demon-possessed. Listen very carefully. But it is possible for a Christian to be afflicted by something demonic. How do I know? The book of Job, the entire book of Job, posits that as a reality. You will recall that Job was a righteous man, that God had blessed him uniquely among all the men of the earth. He was a very wealthy man. He loved the Lord. And Satan came before the Lord. We get a little glimpse behind the veil, as it were. Satan came before the Lord, and Satan said, well, you know, God, consider that, you know, look at Job down there. The only reason Job serves you is because you've been so good to him. You gave him a great wife, great family. You gave him all kinds of cattle and sheep and oxen. And you put a hedge of your blessing around him. And the devil said, if you take that away, God, if you take that away, then that man Job will show his true colors. That man Job will curse you to your face. And God said this, okay, you may afflict. I'm, of course, paraphrasing. You may afflict Job. You cannot take his life. Now watch, the entire book of Job is based on the idea that it is possible for Satan in a limited sense to bring affliction upon a Christian even and only under the supervision of God. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. I am God's child. I am untouchable beyond what God allows. I hope you heard what I just said. That, by the way, applies to everything. I am God's child. I am untouchable apart what God allows. Now, may God allow the devil to afflict me in some way. He certainly may. He did that to Job. But Job was untouchable to a certain extent. The devil could not go too far. So I want you to remember something. God is in ultimate control. What I don't want you to do is leave the auditorium thinking, oh no, you know, not only do I have to be afraid of the virus, but I have to be afraid about demons that could work their way through the mask. That is not part and parcel with what I'm saying tonight. My God is in control. That is my faith. You said, Pastor Monty, things are going to happen in this world. It's all going to go topsy-turvy. And do you know what? As topsy-turvy as it gets, my God is in control. 100% in control. Now, we may have to do things. We may have to, you know, all kinds of things could happen in the future. We don't know what those would be. But God is in control. The generation that will see the return of Christ will see probably a disintegration of society. And if we see a disintegration of society, we're going to have to do some things, aren't we? Some AR kind of things. We're gonna have to do some things, okay? But that disintegration will be under the control of God. As a human individual, Christian, born again, child of God, there is nothing that can touch my life apart from God allowing it. That is a very foundational principle I want you to remember as we go through this. Another principle, number two, to consider. God sometimes allows us to face demonic attack in the form of illness and disease. Now, note how carefully that was phrased. Sometimes. We'll get into the causes of illness in a moment, but does the Bible bear this out? Yes, Matthew 17. Look at verse 14, everyone. Matthew 17, verse 14. The Bible says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Now, that meant he's crazy. That meant he had some form of mental disorder. Have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer? You bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked, now notice the words, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. I want you to notice something about the wording of that verse. You have the word cure, which speaks of a medical problem, and you have the word devil. Oftentimes in the Bible, and especially in the Gospels, you will see that Jesus heals those that are sick and casts out demons or casts out devils. Those two things are often connected. And in our thinking, we would say, well, you know, Pastor Monty, probably there was maybe one guy that was demon-possessed and then there were 500 people that were sick. The Bible never bears that out. It seems like this was a very common thing, the demonic affliction and the sickness, and they seem to go hand in hand. Matthew 12:22, in that passage, a demon caused a man to be blind and mute. How do I know? The Bible says a demon caused this upon that man. Jesus healed that individual. So here we have another example of someone who suffered from a physical affliction that was sourced in the demonic, and Jesus healed that individual. Numerous passages connect illness with demonic influence. Matthew 2:17, Mark 1:34. I could have listed all kinds of passages. Note that there appears to be a connection between demons and illness in these passages. Both demonic influence and illness were healed by Christ. Now pause with me for a moment. I did not say that every illness has as its source or cause demonic. I did not say that. But I said there are numerous passages where the two are linked together and where those things may, M-A-Y, may have as their cause something demonic. It is something to consider. Now, take a pen or pencil if you have one. The reference there is wrong. That's a typographical error. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians 12. That is a typographical error. We're going to look at verse number 7 because I think this is one of the most instructive passages in the Bible that refers to a physical affliction allowed by God, but brought about by Satan. So, Pastor Monty, who in the world faced this? None other than the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 7. Paul said this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." What in the world? What's he talking about? In our modern parlance, in order that I would not get a big head over the fact that God had given me lots of revelations. In other words, in order for me to remain humble, note what it says, there was given to me. Okay, now, who would be the giver of this? Well, God. Okay, God allowed this. But notice what it says. Keep looking at the verse. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Pause right there. The word thorn in the flesh means that whatever Paul was afflicted with, it was something that affected his flesh or his body. You say, Pastor Monty, what was it? A lot of Bible scholars think it was poor eyesight. My eyesight's been a little questionable lately. Next Wednesday, I'm going to have a complete and total eye exam from a very trusted Christian doctor in this community. We're going to try to straighten this out. But I tend to think right now that Paul's affliction was eyesight, because I want to be just like the Apostle Paul. And so we might as well think that. But it doesn't ever say. But it does say that it's a thorn in the flesh. And the idea of flesh has to do with body, okay? It has to do with the physical body. So there's some kind of thorn in the flesh. But look at verse 7 again, because he defines it further. He says this, "The messenger of Satan," now do you see those words? "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul said this, God allowed a physical malady of some sort into my life to keep me humble, and that physical malady was actually enacted by Satan. It was the messenger of Satan. Now, you say, Pastor Monty, would God do that? Apparently so. God will, by the way, let me make a statement here. God and the devil are enemies. God controls Satan. And don't forget it. And God can take something that is a satanic attack and turn it into something positive in a person's life. The devil never wins. The devil never wins. Now continue looking at the lesson outline. So, Paul's thorn in the flesh, allowed by God for his purpose and identified as the messenger of Satan. Therefore, we're going to make a conclusion for point number two. Therefore, there may be a connection between some illness and demonic attack. And I could have gone through so many more passages, both Old and New Testament. I gave you just a small sampling of the idea. I'm trying to defend the idea that it is possible that Satan can be behind something that is a physical malady or an illness or a disease. That is the idea I'm trying to give you from Scripture. Now, look at point number three. This is really important. Sickness and disease have several possible sources. This is really important to understand. So if someone leaves here tonight and says, Pastor Monty said that all sickness is right from the devil, then you'd be wrong about that, because that is not what I'm saying. There are several possible sources. So let's break this down a little bit. First of all, natural and biological. I think by far that is the most common source of illness. We are broken people. We live in a broken world. Illness and disease are a result of the fall. Think back to the Garden of Eden with me for a moment. God said everything was good, and Adam and Eve would live forever. There was no threat of illness, disease, genetic mutation. There was no threat of any of that in the Garden of Eden. It was a perfect place. It was a flawless place. There was no threat of that. After the fall of man into sin, everything changed. Sin has a very corruptive influence, and over generations, that corruptive influence has multiplied. For example, point two, genetic mutations resulting in illness and malformity are a result of the fall. They're interesting theories. Have you ever noticed in the Old Testament, for example, that people lived a really long time? Have you ever noticed that? Hundreds of years. There are different theories as to why that is true. Some people talk about a vapor canopy over the earth prior to the flood, and I think that that has legitimacy to it, that filtered out some of the harmful rays and blah, blah, blah. I think there's legitimacy to that. But I think there's also legitimacy to the idea that the genetic pool was clean at that point. Over time, because of sin, genes mutate and errors entered the system. And we now know that certain diseases can be predicted by an individual's genetic makeup. So if you have a particular form of rare cancer, someone, a doctor, may recommend a genetic test. The genetic test would look at your genetic structure and predict whether that cancer could be carried on to your children, whether they need to be careful about the potential of the cancer. It could also, by the way, indicate why you developed that cancer. That's all part and parcel with medical science. And that thing, those things, I think, are fairly accurate. But again, it traces back to the fall of man into sin. Bacterial and viral infections are a result of the fall. I do not believe there was any infectious diseases in the garden prior to the fall. I think all of these things were added thereafter because sin has a corruptive influence. Timothy, for example, is there an example in the Bible of someone who got sick? There's all kinds of them, but I'm using Timothy. Timothy suffered from a natural stomach illness for which Paul recommended wine. Take now a little wine for thy stomach's sake. You say, Pastor Marty, why would he recommend that? Well, historically, we know this, that the water, the drinking water at Ephesus, was highly alkali in its chemical makeup. And it was very common for people who lived in Ephesus to have a problem of an upset stomach because they were out of balance. You all understand that your alkalinity needs to be balanced against your acidity. How many know that? You don't want to be too alkaline, you don't want to be too acidic. Well, the constant drinking of this water at Ephesus caused many people, and so we even have in the historic record recipes of various potions that they would use, all of them acid-based, things like wine or things of that nature, vinegar, whatever it may be, that would help treat the stomach malady. Now, here's something interesting about that. Paul never said, hey, Timothy, understand you're having stomach problems, I'll be over there, I'm going to lay hands on you and heal you. Never said that. Well, couldn't Paul have done that? I'm not so sure by the writing of the pastoral epistles. You see, the early miracle sign gifts begin to fall off the radar screen rather quickly in the early part of the church. Paul doesn't say, I'm going to heal you. He also doesn't tell Timothy, well, Timothy, it's all in your head. He didn't tell him that either. But what did he say? He said, Timothy, here is a problem. Here is a remedy. Take the remedy. Most of the time, natural illnesses should be addressed by some form of remedy. Today we call that modern medicine, but a lot of that is a different thing entirely. This is simply an example of a natural illness. Paul never said, Timothy, your stomach's upset. The devil got in your gut. Maybe he's in my microphone, but he's not in Timothy's gut. Never, ever said that. He simply said, Timothy, drink now a little wine for thy stomach's sake. So there are natural biological illnesses. I think most of the illnesses we face today are that way. So if you hang out with sick people, you probably can get sick from a communicable disease. Okay, we'll get into some other things in a moment. Another possible source, though, of illness. Some might not like this. But God, it is possible that God could bring illness our way for his own purpose. Again, I would reference the book of Job, though that was something God allowed Satan to do. God still put Job to the test in that allowance. But a great example of this is John 11, verse 4. Lazarus was sick. He ultimately died, and Jesus said this illness is for the glory of God. There are some people who are called at a time in their life to suffer an illness for the glory of God. As the pastor of this church for almost 24 years, I've had the privilege of seeing some of the best saints I've ever known who were in the glow of health and ended up rapidly because of an illness in great sickness, and who, after the shock of the initial diagnosis, rose up in their hearts and said to me, Pastor Monty, all I want to do is glorify God in my illness. There was a lady in this church who got cancer, and it was terminal, and she knew she was going to die. And we prayed together at the old church, in my office at the old church. And she said this, she said, I told God that I want my cancer to bring my husband to Christ. And you know what God did? He did exactly that. After a morning service, one time after she was diagnosed, a couple weeks, her husband, who never came to church, he showed up and came down the aisle to the front just when I was shaking hands with people. And he said, Pastor, he said, I need to see you in your office, early as convenience. So I said, okay, let's do Tuesday morning. He said, I want to talk to you. He said, I have been a fool for 68 years or something like that. I've been a fool. And I said, what do you mean a fool? He said, God gave me the best woman I could ever have asked for. God gave me life. God's been good to me. He said, and I have shut the door on God. I want to talk to you. We met that morning, and he got saved. By the way, he's in heaven now with his wife. He's in heaven, Dave Cox. How many remember Dave Cox? This was his first wife. He later married Sherry. A lot of you remember that. That's how Dave Cox got saved. And when he got saved, we baptized him. She was able to come, barely able to get to the baptism because of her illness. And she told me this. She said, Pastor, it's worth having cancer to know that Dave is saved. Okay, can I tell you something? That is a Christian responding in a Christ-honoring way to an illness. So sometimes God does that for his own glory. Sometimes God brings illness as a form of chastisement to get our attention. Now, I won't turn there, but in your lesson outline, I've given you Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. What do they talk about? It talks about the chastening hand of God. So sometimes a Christian gets out of line. Now, you cannot lose your salvation, but God can certainly chasten you back to him. It's kind of like we would use the terminology today, God gets your attention. When I was a kid, sometimes I'd get a little bit wound up and a little out of control, and my parents would try to caution me about my behavior, and I was running around and screaming and doing what little kids do, and they would say something, and that didn't work. Anyone ever have that problem with your kids? Yeah, that didn't work. And so then my dad would say, I'm going to get your attention. Pastor Monty, what did that mean? Yeah, it meant a belt. My dad was the fastest belt west of the Mississippi River. And that belt could slide right off, and boy, he'd tear me up with that. And do you know what? He got my attention. What was my dad doing? He was chastening me. Okay, God does that sometimes with us. Let us just put it right out there. As a Christian, if I face an illness, I need to consider, is God trying to get my attention? Now, pause, stop, put the brakes on. Don't you ever say, well, so-and-so got sick. God must be knocking on their door. You have no right to ever judge that. Did you hear what I said, church? Ever. But, as a Christian, when something happens and it's negative, and then the Holy Spirit says, hey, wake up. You'd better wake up. Every time the Lord has chastened me, I have known it was the Lord. No one had to tell me that. No one had to say, Pastor Monty, you ever think maybe God's trying to get your... No one has ever had to do that. Because the Holy Spirit who lives inside brings immediately to my attention, hey, you better get back in line in this area. Hey, you better straighten up in this area. That is divine chastisement. And the Bible teaches that at some point or another, every child of God will face that chastisement. There's a third source, though, and that is what we're dealing with somewhat tonight. The idea of Satan or the demonic, okay, has already demonstrated some illness and disease may be sourced in Satan working through his demons. That is a possibility. Demonic illnesses frequently take the form of mental illness. Now, I'm going to clarify what I'm saying, okay? There is such a thing as medical mental illness that is based upon imbalance of chemicals in the brain. There is such a thing as that. All emotion is real because all emotion has a chemical brain-based source. Having said that, there are certain things that are diagnosed medically that fit the paradigm of demonic influence all too well. I'm just going to go out on a limb. When doctors talk about multiple personality disorder, red flags go up in my mind every single time. So why, Pastor? Because I strongly suspect that that could be demonic. Now, some of this is based upon personal experience that I've had. But if you've ever visited a serious, high-level lockdown psych facility, as I have numerous times in my ministry, and seen groups of people who are locked away there simply because of their behaviors, you will walk away from that. And by the way, I say that I've been to those facilities as a guest, not a patient. Okay, I saw Morris laughing back there, and I feel like I needed to clarify that. You will have a sense that there is something very dark at work in places like that. Now, when I say this, I'm speaking experientially. I am not saying that all mental illness is demonic in its sourcing. Did everybody get that? You understood what I said? But I am saying that that is certainly possible. And multiple personalities, some of those disorders seem like they very much could have something satanic about them. Point number three under that point, demons may in a limited way afflict people with physical illnesses or symptoms that mirror physical illness. So I believe that. I think that's firmly taught in Scripture. It is connected in the Gospels. It is taught in the book of Job. The Apostle Paul himself said he was afflicted. Okay, so the big question, how do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference? Look at some of the points. Some illnesses are obviously the result of natural biological causes. If we abuse our physical bodies, we will face the results of sowing and reaping. Okay, the devil didn't make you fat. Just saying, okay, no one's forcing that food down your gullet. The demons don't gather at dinner and force you to swallow more, okay? The devil doesn't make you fat. That's a result of our own choices. So much of that. Pastor Monty, I can't believe God allowed me to have cancer, lung cancer, and I've only smoked for 60 years. Okay, now folks, let's just face it. Could we just face it? Could we just be honest and say we bring our trouble upon ourselves? Okay, do you know, if I want to have heartburn tonight, I know exactly what to eat to give me heartburn. How many know that? And it wouldn't be the devil setting the fire. It would be me setting the fire by what I'm eating. Okay, the first step sometimes in life is to take responsibility and grow up. You are not a victim of the devil in some of these things. The older generation, by the way, would have welcomed this kind of preaching. The snowflake generation can't stand this because it puts the responsibility squarely on their shoulders to do the right thing. But that's where it should be. I'm done ranting. Let's move on. Some illnesses are caused by us. Point B, Christians have a sense, I think, of when a particular illness is sent from God. Now notice, in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said that he was given a thorn in the flesh, okay? It wasn't something that he caused, it was something that was given to him. He intimates that God had allowed it, but that it was actually Satan bringing the affliction. It's a very interesting combination there. When God chastens a believer, his spirit speaks to the believer's heart. I firmly believe that you will know. Pastor Ronnie, how do you know? Well, look at me, folks. When my daddy chastened me, I never wondered who was doing it. Okay, I never wondered. It never crossed my mind. Well, the devil is doing it. No, it was my dad. Okay, I never wondered. I think the same thing is true of a Christian. Okay, in that whole passage in Hebrews, there's a familial reference. Okay, we are the sons of God. And if we're truly his sons, he's going to chasten us. And if God is doing the chastening, then we're going to be aware that it is God. Now, I can't judge that in your life, nor will I, nor should you in anyone else's life. But if something's happening in your life, you ought to at least consider, could this possibly be something that the Lord is doing in your life for a particular reason, for particular purposes? So, and then point C, satanic illnesses have several common characteristics. Now, I'm not doing a whole Bible study on this, but let me give you two thoughts. Unbiblical thinking is a hallmark of a potentially satanic disorder. Remember, Paul said his thorn in the flesh, and now you've got to think with me here. Paul said his thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. A messenger has a message. The thorn in the flesh was a physical affliction, but the physical affliction sent a message, okay? Let's pretend that the physical affliction were cancer, and you're diagnosed with cancer. And the message that you start thinking in your brain is this: if God loved me, he wouldn't have allowed me to have cancer. That is unbiblical thinking. But it came from the platform of a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Well, Pastor Monty, if there really was a God, he would not have allowed blah, 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 blah. Okay, wait a minute. There is a God, and apparently he did allow this, but what you're doing is taking a thorn in the flesh and listening to a message that is unbiblical. Why would Satan do this? Because he wants to rob you of your faith, destroy your relationship with God, and he builds a platform sometimes of a physical malady through which he projects a message. You as a Christian, by the way, you say, Pastor, what do I do if this happens? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me tell you something. If something happens, don't. I'm so tired of this modern goofiness. Read a book one time, a goofy book, Disappointment with God, it was called. And the author said, oh, sometimes you just need to get out in the woods by yourself and scream at God. That is utterly false. God is our Father, and God is God, and God always deserves my reverence no matter how I feel. There is no permission given me in the pages of Scripture to blaspheme Almighty God. So important we understand that. That's Satan. Satan loves it. Satan loves it. And you know, it's horrible to say, but as a pastor, I've known people who everything's going along swimmingly. It's all wonderful. And then the smallest little thing happens. They stub their toe and they curse God. Listen, don't let a physical problem become a platform for for the messenger of Satan to put his message into your mind. Don't allow that, okay? That would be an indicator of something that is potentially a satanic malady. In Paul's experience, he identified the thorn as something of Satan, and it was sending to him an unbiblical message. Number two, satanic illnesses result in unusual fear and confusion. That is always the case. Fear is not of God, and confusion is not of God. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. So when you have something, an illness that strikes absolute terror into your... Now, I'm not talking about the initial diagnosis. You all understand that, because there's a sense of shock in an initial diagnosis. But something that continues to dominate with fear that could be... might be an indication that there is a deeper source to this. I remember my good friend Jeremy Paradowski, I think over a year ago, I was in an airport somewhere, and he called me to tell me that I knew he had some stomach problems, some digestive issues, and he called to tell me, he said, I've just been diagnosed. We were thinking it'd be something like diverticulitis or something. He said, I've just been diagnosed with fourth stage colon cancer that has spread throughout the liver. This young man's in his 30s. He has five kids and a wife, and he's an assistant pastor in the state of Wyoming. He's been here. Some of you know him. When he said that to me, my heart sank. I got all teary in the airport. And in my mind, I said, he's a dead man. And in my mind, I gave maybe a year at the most if he could really fight this, but I was even thinking less. And I think that way because as a pastor, you get around this stuff a lot. You know, people who seemed healthy just can go out the window pretty quick. And he was really shaken by it. I talked to him and his wife in the airport. She was crying, of course, and we talked together. We prayed together in the airport. And I was just sick. I was sick to my stomach, absolutely sick to my stomach. And the next day, Jeremy called me again. He's like, Monty. He's like, Monty, I've decided something. I said, what's that? He said, I'm going to fight this. He said, God is on my side. He said, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to see my kids grow up. And he went through this whole list of things, and he was like super positive. And well, yes, Rudy, praise God, except for Pastor Monty. Because in my heart, I was like, oh, he's doing this thing where you're emotionally up here, and then you're down here. You know what I'm talking about, Jay, and up here and down. I thought he's on this emotional roller coaster thing. And we talked the next day, and he was still up here. He was just bound and determined. Let me tell you, a year later, he went through all his treatments. He's cancer-free in the colon. He had a major liver surgery that would only be done by specialists in Chicago. Everybody else turned him away. He is now recovering at home. By the way, doing fine. Oh, by the way, continued in his ministry during the entire course of his illness, continued to preach Christ and stood as a testimony for his community, and today, right now, is cancer-free to the glory of God. Now, let me tell you something about that. I watched someone who was handed legitimately a death sentence that I don't know if I could have handled it, to be honest with you. I don't know if I would have that much grace. I watched someone who was handed a death sentence lift his eyes toward heaven and say, I'm going to trust God every step of the way, and he never faltered. And you said, Pastor Monty, how do you know? Because we are very close friends, and if he had faltered, I would have known. And he never faltered in his absolute conviction that God would see him through. That type of thing, by the way, is for the glory of God. What an example. So how do we respond to illness? I'll get down to that one. Don't judge others. We've talked about that. Don't jump immediately to Satan. Don't do that. It may not be. It may be what you ate last night. Food poisoning one time, really bad, from the China buffet that's on the round off 465 on 31, just south there on the right-hand side. I don't know if it's still there or not. If they should have closed it down. I had food poisoning from that badly. It wasn't the devil. It's the Chinese. It wasn't the devil. Point C, don't blame God in a non-Christian way. Okay, how do I respond to illness? Don't get all bouty with God. Okay, God knows what he's doing. The one thing that's great about Job, it's repeated several times in the book of Job, Job sinned not with his lips, and all the things he went through, he sinned not with his lips. Take appropriate steps to deal with the illness from a natural, biological, or medical perspective, okay? I put in parentheses there, always be open to alternative medicine. I am more in favor of that now than I've ever been, and more distrustful of Big Pharma than I've ever been. But take appropriate steps, okay? Don't just, well, Pastor Monty, I'm going to be a Christian scientist and just believe it's not there. Okay, no, that's goofy. Well, Pastor Monty, I'm merely going to pray for healing. No, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Okay, Paul didn't just tell Timothy, pray about it. He didn't call the church of Ephesus and make sure they sent out an email on the prayer chain. He said, Timothy, there's some things you can do. Do the things that you can do. That's very, very practical. Always turn immediately to God, regardless of the source of the illness. Do not turn from him. He is always our best hope, and Jesus is the great physician. Okay, that's simply a truth of Scripture. Understand that. Then point F, uncomfortable passage, uncomfortable point. Treat your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Take care of yourself. Make sure general good health is a top priority in your life. Prevention is better than a cure. Okay, do what you can. I'm not saying you have to be a fabulous athlete or something, but there are things that you can do to be better than you are. Oh, guess what? Guess what? It's Rudy, did you know that it's about to be January 1st again? That means a whole new year. That means New Year's resolutions. Can I give you a hint about your New Year's resolutions? Start them a minimum of 1 week prior to the new year. Get a good running start on a New Year's resolution. And by the way, Pastor Lonnie, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Horrible resolution. Horrible. Horrible. Pastor Lonnie, what should my resolution be? I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week. Do you know why? That is something you control. Let the result, the weight loss, happen. What can you control? I'm no longer going to eat XYZ. I'm no longer going to whatever it may be. Or I'm going to do this. Don't make the goal your resolution. This is where people go so wrong. Do not make the goal your resolution. Make the steps to the goal your resolution. Does everybody see what I'm saying? This is great free advice this evening. But treat your body right. Now, I couldn't resist, so I'm doing it. Point six, is COVID pandemic satanic? Notice what I put in parentheses. This is Pastor Monty's personal opinion. Okay, so you don't have to take this to the bank. I'm not basing this on Scripture, but this is an opinion. Here's why I think that it is. It has engendered worldwide confusion and fear, like nothing I've ever seen in my life. That in and of itself seems to be satanic. It has driven otherwise commonsensical people into nonsense. It has advanced the one-world globalist agenda of a coming Antichrist exponentially. Cultural conditioning toward a new world order is succeeding at an alarming rate. And all of that seems very infused with the influence of Satan. It has caused division among God's people and discouragement among pastors. Now, we don't have division in our church over that. I would never allow it. But I see that division as something satanic. When people get angry with each other, upset with each other for this, that, or the other thing, and it all has to do with all these rules and whatever it may be, that is absolutely bona fide Satanism. Because there's nothing the devil wants to do more than to divide the church over something of this nature, period. I view that as utterly and completely satanic, just for the record. So that's evidence to me that this plague that we face could be that, something that Satan has brought upon the world. It has damaged God's church in many, many places. I could tell you stories. We don't have time tonight. But there are many churches that are at less than half of their attendance what they were 2 years ago. And that continues on. Now, do you think that's of God? I don't think so. I think that's something that is of Satan. And it is worldwide in scope, and to me it appears highly orchestrated. And that as well, I think, is something that would be indicative of a possible satanic origin. Now, what am I saying tonight? Here's what I'm saying. Not all illness comes from the devil. Don't jump to the devil as a first conclusion, but understand that the devil is given limited ability to inflict people, and understand that that can still be a reality today. But the biggest thing you need to understand is this. My God and your God is bigger than Satan. Don't you forget it. And what he may allow, he always limits. Did everybody hear that? What God may allow Satan to do, he always limits. And what does it result in? If I respond properly, it always and without exception results in the glory of God. So hold on to these truths. We are on the winning side, and Jesus is the great physician. Father, thank you for your word tonight and for the victory that over and over again is repeated in the Bible. When we see Christ healing those that are sick, casting out demons, pushing back the powers of darkness, Father, we rejoice in that because we are, as born-again Christians, on the winning side. Lord, continue to give us that confidence. Father, for people in our congregation that are afflicted with illness and other things other than COVID as well, we pray your hand of healing upon them. Lord, we understand that our healing is bought in the atonement of Christ, that with his stripes we are healed. And Father, I pray that we will claim that, we will believe it, we will trust in it, because Father, we love you, and we claim you as our Savior, as our God, and as our King. We always pray thy will be done with a trusting heart, knowing that you are in full control. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.